and welcome to our Teen D-Bears podcast. This is the first episode ever, and Beyond the Gable is the name that we chose for our podcast, considering the importance of the debates and all the skills that our debates and debating world can help us develop. We have decided to create a podcast for this purpose. And I'm Nasser, and today I'm going to be here with Abhinav. Hello, Abhinav.
Yeah, hi. My name is Abhinav. I'm an undergrad student, and today our first guest is Abhishek Gupta, who is the founder of High School Moms and one of Asia's most reputed career counselors. Sir, can you give us a brief about yourself?
Hi, Abhinav. Hi, Nasser. Thank you so much for hosting me on the Teen Debater Beyond the Gavel podcast series, episode one. Happy to be here. My name is Abhishek Gupta. I'm a career coach and a counselor, and I'm the founder of, it's called High School Moms. And I'm also the founder of an edtech company called Guide AI, which is into premium profile building, college application, SAT prep, ACT prep, and all sorts of things. Very proud to say that Guide AI has been selected by Forbes as the 200 top companies with a global impact potential. So that's about me. I'm an alum of University of California, Los Angeles. And thank you so much for having me here.
Well, thank you, sir. Today, this podcast will discuss the topics related to debating and MUN. And our first, following our goals as a community, the Teen Debaters, is to spread the knowledge of debating and spread the culture, you know, amongst teenagers, of course. Because, like I said before, considering the importance of it, developing our skills. We're going to ask you related to debating, and so in hopes of spreading the knowledge, like I said.
So, sir, I have a question for you. Why did you start High School Moms, and what was your vision for the organization?
The intention of starting High School Moms was very, very simple. An average high schooler is always confused about his career and college choices, and there was not even a single authentic organization which could give authentic advice, authentic suggestions, and help students at one place for everything, whether it was the college admissions prep or profile building or whether career counseling. So we thought that High School Moms will be that one parent and student community which will give authentic, real, and credible advice to parents and students about their careers and college journeys. So that's why we started High School Moms. Our intent is very simple. Our vision is to help at least 10 million students around the world and getting them into the right colleges and the right careers.
Nice.
Follow that question, sir. You are intended to reach to about 10 million students. Now, so far, how far you have come?
In terms of reach, we have already crossed 45 million. The intention is that 10 million students should be on Guide platform to be able to use what we offer to them on Guide in terms of building profiles and preparing for their college admissions. But our social media reach has already gone 45 million plus.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, and how has this been, like, as a founder of High School Moms and all of this, like, how do you manage all this, like, the logistics, the planning, like, maintaining this organization and all that? Like, I'm sure it'll be difficult.
Nothing is easy in life. I'm sure starting the Teen Debater by all of you was not easy. I'm sure taking out time during your peak examination period coming up and trying to launch a podcast is not easy. While managing your studies and everything. So nothing is ever easy. But, while you are able to manage your time doing this as well as your school exams and everything, what you are able to do is build a profile where you will be able to get those extra notch marks and brownie points to get into college admissions, because this will go as your profile building activity. So whenever you start an organization, it is never going to be easy. 0 to 1 is very difficult. 1 to 100 is easy, because in 0 to 1 you have a problem of funding, you have a problem of right people. So I think in 0 to 1 it was more about being involved in the business, and now since we have crossed that the threshold of 1 and we are on our journey to 1 to 100, now it is about working on the business, not in the business. So now it is all about identifying the right people who can lead the company. It is all about trusting their abilities. It is about detaching myself and letting my team perform instead of me performing.
Yeah, nice.
All right,
so
sir.
Follow up to that.
Yeah.
Like, what are the struggles you went through while starting HSM?
Every entrepreneur will go through a lot of struggles and one has to be ready for it. I always say that when you choose to leave your job and become an entrepreneur, what you are choosing is to leave a 9-to-6 job to work 24/7. And you need to be ready for it. Earlier you were working 9-to-6, now you have to work 24/7. And I think the biggest struggle as any entrepreneur would be that when you come up with an idea, people will not believe in you. People will question you, people will doubt you, people will try and scare you. And as an entrepreneur, it's your job to bring that internal motivation and say, no, I'm on the right track. No, I'll be able to do it, right? Because everybody will try and scare you. The second biggest challenge that an entrepreneur will always face is ensuring that the company is profitable and still growing, right? So that's the fund management is very, very critical. And the third biggest critical factor or a struggle that an entrepreneur goes through is finding the right people who are better than him, which becomes his team. Because alone you can only do a little. Together you can do a lot. So these are the three struggles which every entrepreneur, even me, went through. And I think over a period of time, if you're consistent, if you're persistent with your journey, you will be able to get all the three right.
Exactly. Like if I like right now, I'm just imagining I'm putting myself in the place of like in place of the parents. And I see there's an organization called High School Moms that has been created by a father. Like, how does that even work? Like, of course, I'm going to doubt you. But over time, this, like you said, it's going to be consistency and so on. And how like that organization can grow. For us, for example, like even the Teen Day Battles, like you said, we face a lot of struggles, but consistency is what we focus on. And that's why we are creating a podcast at this specific time of the year for some reason. Like you said, it's very hard work. Yeah.
True.
So yeah, I have one more question. Like, how do you manage the parents? A lot of parents are like afraid for their children. A lot of them have a lot of worries. Like, how do you calm a parent? Like, when your child gets like the kid gets into Harvard or something, it's in the US. Like, they'll go far away and all that. How do you comfort them?
So the journey to get into a college starts at least 3 to 4 years early. So it does not start in the grade 12 or grade 11, right? And we at High School Moms and Guide AI, we start interacting with parents as early as grade 8 or 9. And over the next 2-3 years, it is our duty to help counsel the parents as well. Sometimes their worry is genuine because the kid is going so far, but sometimes the worry is uncalled for. You know, when they feel that the international destination is not safe or safety is a concern, we always go and tell them that these campuses are far safer than some of the campuses back home. So it is more about comforting them and calming them. Sometimes it also happens that we actually bring parents of the students who have already gone there to share their experiences with the parents. And when we bring those parents, every parent wants to listen to another parent, right? And that's also very comforting. And last, I think it's all in the name. Since we are called High School Moms, and it comes across as a parent-student community, it is a parent-student community. I think parents really trust us and believe us in the advice that we give, and they feel very comfortable when they are with us.
Yeah, it's very important to choose the right name sometimes. A name can completely change. And that's why we were so careful when we thought about choosing this name for our podcast. Like, we asked almost everyone in the team, what do you think about the name? And they all said it was good, so we went just along with it. All right, sir, now I'm going to ask you a question. I mean, you, of course, is aware of the nature of students, let's say for the best 10 years, for example, the best decade. How has the students changed in the best decade, for example, specifically in India?
Oh, a lot has changed with the students specifically in India. In last one decade, the change has been transformational, if I have to say. 10 years back, the focus was only on academics. Every single student you would have met, they would have said, what are they doing? Oh, we are preparing for boards. What are you doing? Oh, we are preparing for boards. How much did you score? Oh, we have got 90% plus. But today, students are far more exposed. Students are far more diverse with their interests, their extracurriculars. So I think today's generation, as a student, they are into multiple things. They're building their own entrepreneurial ventures. They are participating in MUNs. They're building Teen Debater like you all. They are participating in international competitions. They are doing research projects. So I think students have considerably changed. The other factor that has changed is 10 years back, the entire focus was on IIT and NEET. So either you could become a doctor or you could become an engineer or you could become a CACS. But today's generation is far open to new age ideas. They want to go into data science. They want to go into AI and ML. They want to start and become an influencer. They want to get into social media marketing. You know, some of the careers which were never thought of 10 years back. So I think students have changed a lot in the last one decade, thanks to the exposure, thanks to internet, thanks to globalization, thanks to awareness. And I personally believe today's student is far more exposed and far more responsible than the students of the past.
Yeah, but us as teenagers, like the first thing that's going to come to mind is, of course, there are positives and there are negatives. Would you talk about that?
I'm a positive person inherently. I never see negatives in anything. I think the only negative I would say about today's teenagers is that because of the overuse of social media, their attention span has become very, very low. They want instant gratification. They want instant results. They want instant followers if they start an Instagram or a YouTube channel. Sometimes instant gratification is not possible. Sometimes you have to be consistent. You have to continue doing things the right way for months and years to get that overnight success. So overnight success only comes when you have done for multiple years the right thing. And then one fine day, overnight, you'll become successful. So I think lack of patience and attention is one concern that I have with today's teenagers. But like I said, I'm a positive person. I think you guys are far more responsible. You are far more inclusive. You are far more environmental friendly. You're far more logical than I was when I was a kid.
But like I said, we simply can't deny the reality. Like, that's the reality of the world. There's always a negative aspect and a positive aspect. Well, following your talk about the students changing over this past decade, how has the application to colleges has changed? Of course it has changed, but would you talk about that from your own experience or from your own background? What do you think has changed in the application process?
I think I always say that movies and college applications, these are two things which are reflective of the current time zone, okay? So they always reflect the current society. So if you look at movies today, the kind of topics we are picking up are reflective of current society. A movie like Three Idiots questioned the entire narrative around engineering. And it is reflective of today's society where people are choosing to go into alternate careers instead of just becoming an engineer, right? Similarly, college application is a reflection of current society. So 10 years back, because the society was only focused on marks, the college applications were only about academics. Today, because it's all about skills and extracurriculars, it's about what all you do beyond the classroom and beyond the books, that college applications are reflective of that. So today's college application is very, very different than 10 years back. In today's college application, 70% is about your extracurriculars, about your skills, about your profile, about college essays and SOPs and curriculum vitae and resumes. And in today's application, you should be a good student, but you should also have great extracurriculars to get into the best of the universities in the world. So yeah, I mean, like, students have changed, so have the college applications, especially after ChatGPT, where essays can be written by ChatGPT. Now universities are again changing their narrative and they are putting an interview component as a part of the college application process, because essays can be written, but interviews cannot be fake, right? So like movies, college applications also are a reflective of the current society.
And exactly. I have a follow-up on that children changing thing. Like, how do you think parents have changed? Because I see parents are talking about getting marks and all that. Like, even though like their kids probably like very good at cricket, they're like, why aren't you scoring this much amount of marks? Why are you failing this class and all that? So, like, do you think even parents have to make a few changes as time goes on?
I think parents need to change far more than the students. Parents are still living, some of them have changed, but some of the parents are still living in 1990s. They're still talking about the same careers which were applicable in 1990s, when the world has changed after pandemic and ChatGPT and OpenAI. But I think parents are trying from their level best as well. I am a father of a teenager and I can tell you, there is a huge difference in exposure between me and my son, even though when I'm a counselor. My son is far more exposed. My son is far more intelligent than I am. He's far more aggressive than I am. So parents are also trying. But one suggestion I definitely want to give all the parents who are going to watch this podcast is start believing in your child. Instead of questioning and stopping, start supporting and waiting for the child to come back to you to ask for suggestions is very, very important. Sometimes this overprotective nature, where you become a helicopter parent, is the reason why your child becomes underconfident, is the reason why your child is unable to take decisions, is the reason why your child is fearing from the fear of failure, right? So allow them to fail, allow them to learn, and keep that communication channel open, where even if they fail, they should be happy coming back and coming back to you and accepting it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's something a lot of parents need to hear, especially in India nowadays. Yeah, and also let's move on from this topic. And why do you think MUNSM debates have blown up so much in India over the past few years?
I think number one reason is accessibility, right? So I think initially some of these activities like MUNs or debates were only for the ones who had the opportunity and access. Today, every single school is hosting an MUN. Today, youngsters like you are hosting MUNs. Today, youngsters like you and Shivansh have created the Teen Debater. Imagine giving access to thousands and thousands of students who never knew how to get inside debating. So I think it's because of technology, it's because of access, it's because of responsible students like you all that the world is able to take the benefits of activities like MUNs and debates. And let's accept it, MUNs and debates are possibly by far one of the best profile building activities, even for college applications, right? 25% of the students across Ivy Leagues are debaters, right? That's simply because these are those activities which will build your research skills. This will build your communication skills. This will build your team skills. This will build your leadership skills. And all of them are super wanted by any Ivy League, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like we're talking from some personal experience, for example. Like when I started debates, I was a completely different person compared to now. It's a complete change, as you described, sir. Now, what do you think colleges are looking for in these, when for those students who are specifically applying to STEM or commerce or liberal arts, for example? What kind of specific skills are they looking for? Now, we can tell the difference between a student who, like, as you said, we asked the question I asked you before, the colleges are not even looking for grades no more. They're looking for these kind of skills. But for these specific degrees, STEM, commerce, and liberal arts, anything specific?
So all three degrees have different requirements, but if I have to give a very close-knit reply, then it would be, colleges are broadly looking at 3-4 things. Number one, your academics are important, but they are not the only thing. So score well, but you don't have to be a topper all throughout. Number two, your SATs are important. Your advanced placements are important. Take your SAT exam. It is an important exam for you to get into the best of the universities. So academics and SATs and advanced placements. Number two is in terms of your ability to showcase about your personality and about your uniqueness, which will come from your profile, activities you engage in, extracurriculars you participate in, projects you take, research you do, community service you do. So your profile is very, very critical. And number three, colleges really want to see, do you have the potential to make a difference to the world? So whatever you are doing, will you just keep the benefit to yourself, or will you make will you make the world a better place, right? So for example, if I see all of you who are building the Teen Debater, while you are learning how to debate and do MUNs yourself, but what you are also doing is you're teaching the students around the country and around the world how to become a better debater, how to become a better MUNer, how to develop your creative skills, critical thinking skills, problem solving skills, communication skills, leadership skills. And that's exactly what a university is looking at across degrees. Now for STEM programs, universities will look at your interest in physics, chemistry, mathematics, and computer science. Specifically, for humanities and commerce degrees, they want to see, have you done any business project? Have you worked as an intern? Have you done any research in the field of business? For liberal arts degrees, what they want to see is your interdisciplinary approach. So what are the 2-3 subjects you are interested in? Because that's what the beauty of liberal arts is, right? I can study psychology with economics. I can study history with political science. I can study history with computer science. I can study computer science with psychology. So as long as I'm able to tell a university that I have diverse interests and multiple interests, that's also an interesting thing about college applications.
Yeah. And like when you came to my school once, you talked about your son going to SAT coachings and all that. Can you talk about how you're preparing your son for college so that other parents also know like what to do?
So yeah, my son is an enrolled student in my own organization called Guide. He has already written the SAT once with a 1500 plus score. He is now writing an SAT again because his intention is to improve his score. Apart from that, we are working on his profile. We are working on his advanced placements. And I can very well say that building profile is not a matter of 6 months or a year. It takes 2 to 3 years. So in my son's case, we have started the journey as early as grade 8 or 9. And yes, we are very hopeful that he'll be able to crack a top tier university in the United States. So as an organization, Guide and High School Moms does everything and anything related to study abroad.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Considering the person he has become so far, he's our friend, we know him so much. And now let me ask you a question from a point of view of, like, it's a personal question, to be honest. I wanted to ask you, I'm someone that does not like academic stuff. So I'm simply, I don't really accept the idea of going to university and being, I don't like discipline, for example. All right, but I have the skills essential. I'm a debater, I'm a public speaker, I'm an interviewer and all of that. What opportunities does that have for me in the open world, outside of colleges? And
my suggestion to you, Nasser, would be you should still go to college, simply because there is no knowledge without college, number one. Number two, you make your best of the friends in college. Even when you want to start something of your own in life, let's say you want to become an entrepreneur, you want to launch something of your own, you want to be the next NVIDIA, you want to be the next Google, you want to be the next Meta, then also remember, you'll not be able to do it alone. You'll need a team, right? You need funds, you need connects. When you go to a great university, what you do is, so for example, I'm an alum from University of California, Los Angeles, one of the finest universities. When you go to a great university, there are 2-3 things that happen to you, which are for good. Number one, your network becomes your net worth. You start knowing people who are the best of the best in the world, right? Because your classmates one day will become the CTOs, CXOs, and CMOs, right? And that's what your network is. Number two, every good university have something called an incubation center, where if you have a business idea, they will fund you, they will provide you with research, they will help you build up that business idea. So going to college is very, very important. Coming back to your skills of becoming a public speaker, because I'm a public speaker, I'm not a debater, I'm not even an MUNer, but I'm a public speaker. And coming to somebody who can talk well, can sell well. So I don't see a reason why you will not be successful. The only thing that you need to understand is that if you are great at speaking and if communication is your forte, find a career where you only get to talk. Because what better than earning for talking? And there's nothing better than that. So find out careers into media and communication. Find out careers in counseling like me, where the value of what you talk is much more than what you do, right? So go out there and there are amazing careers for that. But let me put it that way. There is no knowledge without college, Nasser. Your skills are great. Find a platform where you'll make more meet more people who have better skills than you, because that's when you build a million-dollar company.
Exactly. I can't even deny that. Like, I'm still at school, and school alone has opened so many doors. Like, this debating door wouldn't have been open for me without school, let alone college. And colleges are clubs, communities, and all of those things. Of course, I'm going to find all these opportunities. But I'm someone that's actually worried about the future. Now, considering the future, there are a lot of careers that are booming right now, considering AI. So we're talking about AI, talking about technology, IT, all those things. Should I take things that have to do with my interests, as you have mentioned, or should I take that route, considering that it's booming in the system, in the market, for example?
So I don't think one should be concerned about AI that much. Yes, AI will eradicate a lot of repetitive and monotonous careers, but AI will give birth to a lot of new age careers. So not all careers will go out of the window, but yes, majorly all careers will look very, very differently. So that's number one. Number two, yeah, go ahead. You want to ask something else?
That's not actually my question. My question is very simple. Should I go and study IT and things that are in the market? Like this, for example, this decade, IT careers or degrees are booming right now. Maybe 10 years ago it was something else. But should I follow my passion or should I follow the market?
Okay. I always say that neither you should follow your passion blindly, nor you should follow the market blindly. There has to be a logical sense on what you should do. Having said that, I don't think pure technology is the future, because now with AI, AI will start inventing technology itself. Okay. AI will start coding for the future. Technology-based careers are very, very important. So even if you want to get into finance, you can go into fintech or financial analytics. You want to go into medicine, instead of becoming a doctor, you can go into bioinformatics. You want to go into marketing, instead of pure marketing, you go into marktech, or marketing technology, or marketing analytics. So the future is about using technology in a particular field, right? So as long as you're going for a degree, which is a core in some area, but is dependent or is technology enabled, right? So for example, a degree like bachelor's in data science, it will not go anywhere for next 200 years, because every single day, the amount of data being produced is double of what it was produced till date yesterday, right? So data will be here to stay. More the data analysis. So there are certain careers which will be technology based and will not be completely technology. And you should look at those careers. I always say that it might be very difficult to create or impossible to create the next OpenAI, but people will be able to create a lot of services and products based on OpenAI solving a particular problem. So they will use technology created by somebody else to solve some other problem.
Yeah, and a follow-up to that, like nowadays there's so many different careers to choose, so many different degrees to choose. Sometimes it's numbing to the mind. So, like, how does a student know what's right for him, what's not for him? Like, because a lot of students have diverse skills, like that can help them in many different things. How will they know that what's right for them?
So there are scientific ways to figure it out. We have an assessment in Guide, which is called GPath assessment. It's a 90-minute online assessment where we check aptitude, interest, and skills. So if your aptitude is high and interest is low, you might be successful, but you'll not be happy. Reverse it. If your interest is high and aptitude is low, you'll be very happy doing what you're doing, but you'll not make money. But once your interest and aptitude is matched, you might find a good career, but do you have the skills to become top 1% in that career? It's not about becoming an engineer. It's about, can I become the top 1% engineer? It's not about becoming a doctor. Can I become the best doctor? It's not about becoming a data scientist. It's about, can I become the top 1% data scientist who will command like $400,000 a year, right? It's about going into that particular career. So what you need is interest, aptitude, and skills. And this assessment of ours called GPATS is a very scientific 90-minute online assessment. It is available on our website called gide.ai. It costs about 5,000 rupees. One can take that and it will help you understand what are your interests, what is your aptitude, where is the match, and which are those careers that will take you to top 1%.
Exactly. And we can actually see that in real life. Like, there's a lot of people who take medicine, for example, and then start complaining about jobs not being available. Well, that's exactly what's happening here. You chose medicine, for example. You went to become an engineer or a doctor, but you don't have the ability to be number one.
Correct.
And how do you think you can be number one in the top 1% when everybody's running for the same top 1%? Like, how do you stand out above the top 1%?
Exactly by doing what you guys are doing right now. Everybody wants to get into a good university. Everybody wants to go to the Ivy Leagues. But how many of them are able to find and balance time along with studies and tuitions and activity classes to be able to build Teen Debater and beyond the gavel? Not many, right? So please remember, everybody wants it, but not everybody will be able to do it. And that's why top 1% is only for 1%, right? So the people who will go into the top 1% club are the ones who go beyond the obvious, who do something more than what others are doing. When others are sleeping, these are the guys who are actually grinding. When others are partying, these are the guys who are grinding, right? So what you do not understand is, to get into top 1%, you need to have something extra inside. So the only thing I can say is, the way you stand out to get into top 1% is, 99% of the people in the world want somebody else to motivate them. It is only the top 1% who will say, I will find my own motivation. I don't need anybody else to tell me why I need to work hard for my success. I know I need to work hard for my success. I'll get up every single day. I'll grind every single day. I'll fall down, but I'll get up. but I will ensure that I'll get to top 1%. So grinding, resilience, falling down and not giving up, consistency and going beyond the obvious. That's the recipe to top 1% in any career.
And that's exactly the only advice we could ever ask for. Thank you very much, sir. Now, by that, we can say our episode today is over. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us on our today's first episode ever. And we hope that you enjoyed it. We hope you learned so much. Thank you, sir, again, very much. We hope to interview one more time, maybe in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Nasir. Thank you, Abhinav. Thank you for hosting me. And all the best to you guys.
All right, sir. All the best to everyone.
Yeah, and all of you guys, be sure to join the Teen Debaters socials in YouTube and Instagram. And I'm sure that you guys will change as a person after joining the organization. Thanks for listening in. This is Abhinav signing off.